الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هذه الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب وإن الدار الآخرة لهي الحيوان لو كانوا يعلمون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم روح القلوب ساعة فساعة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected on my ikram, brothers and elders. We are here in this dunya. Somebody will live for 20 years, somebody 50 years, maybe somebody 80, 90, 100 years. But sooner or later, every person has to leave. Nobody has ever lived ever since he was born till now. Centuries have gone by. And in any case, one and all has to taste from the cup of death. Why are we here? What is our object? Do we have an object in mind, what we have been created for? So Allah Ta'ala Himself has spelled this out for us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we have created this insan and jinnat. The object and the purpose of this is لِيَعْبُدُونَ, so that they will worship me, worship Allah Ta'ala. And the Mufassirin explained that what is included in this, the essence of this worship, is the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. Liyarifun. So this is why we are in dunya. If a person has achieved many, many things in dunya, but he hasn't achieved the object, then really everything has been lost. But this insan is insan. He has needs. There are various limitations which he has. So he has to fulfill these needs as well. But needs are needs. And the object is something apart from the needs. The object is always in front of a person and the needs are on the side. The object will always dictate what he does, when he does it, how he does it, and the needs can be juggled around. So if a person who lives his life in this manner, that he has recognized his object and he has understood what are the needs, then inshallah he'll pass through this phase of life safely and he'll reach the destination safely. To understand this by a little example, somebody goes to school. Now what is the purpose of going to school? So it's obvious the purpose of going to school is to now study, to learn, to finally now he's got some vision in front of him that finally I will finish my schooling, I'll finish matric, and then I would go on to study something else, and one day I'll probably become a doctor, or I'll become something else, a rocket scientist. So he's got a whole plan in front of him. So likewise, there's another student, but now why is he in school? So he says, no, the school has a lot of good sporting activities. And from time to time, they have excellent excursions. So now that is why he is in school. So when he goes in the morning, he remembers to take the football along, but he forgets his pens and pencils and whatever other equipment is necessary. He remembers to take the cricket bat along, but he forgets his textbooks, because he doesn't have any interest in that. So now he has lost track of what really the school is all about. Why is he going to school? And if there isn't an excursion, for any reason the excursion got cancelled, he's in a depression. He lives from one excursion to the next. And he will not remember what homework is necessary to be done, but he will remember what is the next sporting event that is going to take place. Now, anybody who knows this kind of student, or anybody whose son is going through his school life in this manner, that father will be extremely disappointed. He'll say, you've wasted my money, wasted my time. I didn't send you to school for all this. If you really dedicated yourself to the studies, and on the sideline you did something, and you played some football and whatever else, obviously whatever happens within the limits of Shariat and Deen, that was something that we could have understood. But you made this sporting and excursions your object of going to school, you've wasted our time and money and everything. You have totally disappointed us. Now, likewise, we are in dunya, we have needs indeed. We have many needs. This insan has needs of eating and drinking. These are his fundamental needs. He has need to take care of his family. He has even a need to rest and relax from time to time, to relax his body. He has a need to even rest his mind. With all his needs, insan is insan. But with all these needs with him, he must never ever lose sight of what his object is. He must never ever lose sight of what his purpose of life is. If a person has mixed this up, if somebody has made the needs the purpose of life, now somebody has made eating and drinking and really living it up the purpose of his life, then he'll give his whole life into his business from 8 to late, and anything and everything will go, and whether the deals are halal or haram, whether there's interest involved in it or not, whether there is some fraud or whatever the case may be, whether somebody is being deceived, it won't matter to him. Because this has become the purpose of his life. So he must just see the figures increasing all the time and he's happy about it. Then whether there's salah in his life or not, that also doesn't matter. That business will dictate what he does. How he does it, when he does it, life will carry on in that manner. Likewise, this insan has a need to rest his body. He has a need to rest his mind as well. This too is a need. And we recognize this need from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That this deen that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is a completely balanced deen. It takes care of every need of this insan. And there's complete moderation in this. There's no extremism. Once three sahaba came and they inquired from the Azwaj Mutahharat, what was the way that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conducted himself in his time at home? So in any case, they were explained, this much of time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was spending ibadat, then there would be time that he would rest as well, and whatever details go along with it. So when they heard all this, they misunderstood the whole thing. They misunderstood it in the sense that they took it as, well, this is something fine for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the ma'asum Nabi of Allah ta'ala. He is somebody who is totally sinless. So if Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent some time resting also, this is fine for him. But for us, we are not of that caliber. We are very, very weak. So we need to dedicate 100% of our time in ibadat. So one of the three people said, as of today, I am never going to sleep at all the whole night. My whole night will be in ibadat. The second person said, I am never going to leave one day without fasting. My whole life is going to be in fasting. Besides the days that are not permissible, 5 days in the year, my whole life is going to be fasting. The third person said, I am never going to get married off. This is my decision now. So that I can dedicate my entire life to ibadat alone. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to know of this. And he came to them. And he said, you said these things? Are you the people who made these kind of decisions? They said, yes, this is what we said. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then addressed them and said to them, that إِنِّي لَأَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ بِهِ. That there is nobody who fears Allah ta'ala more than myself. Nobody who has greater taqwa than myself. And you claim to be my followers, then listen to what's my way. إِنِّي أَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرُ. There are days when I fast, nafil fast. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's general manner of fasting during the week was Mondays and Thursdays he would fast. There would be other days in the month, the 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar calendar, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast. There were other days also, from time to time he would fast. Nafil fast were filled in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But at the same time, since there are days I fast, there are days I don't fast also. Wa usalli wa arqud. There's a part of the night that I dedicate to ibadat of Allah ta'ala. There's a good part of the night that is spent in salah, but there's a good part of the night that is spent in resting as well. Wa atazawwaju an-nisa, and I'm also married. I'm also married. Faman raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. This is my way. It's complete moderation. And I've taken care of all the needs of life. So the person who does not follow my way, he is more interested in some other thing, then he's not on my way, then I don't have anything to do with him. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the path of complete moderation. And part of this moderation was to take care of this need of the mental relaxation as well. If you open any book of Hadith Sharif, then you will generally find one chapter on mizah and the light-heartedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now what is this mizah? What is this light-heartedness all about? He would joke with the sahaba sometimes. He would have some light-hearted moments with his wives. What is this light-heartedness all about? This is a form of mental relaxation. It makes one feel comfortable. It makes others around feel comfortable. It puts others to rest. Now this was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not in need of all this, but this was his sunnat. He is teaching us life. That look, this is also a need of insan. So this too he did, and he taught us also. Then, on one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was traveling, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha was with, and the Sahaba were with also. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would travel with any of the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, they would be in an enclosed carriage. So in any case, as they were traveling, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, that taqaddamu, all of you move on, move ahead. And then he said to his Aisha, after they were all out of sight, he said to his Aisha radiallahu anha, I'm going to race you today. So now obviously she was fully covered as it is, but he first sent the Sahaba ahead, all of you move on. And then, as Aisha says, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raced with me. And he says, she says I was very light at that time, and I could run faster than him, and as a result I beat him. Any case, the time came and went. Sometime later, again they were traveling, again the same thing happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the Sahaba, taqaddamu, move on. And then he said to Hazrat Aisha that I'm going to race you again. So she says, this time I had picked up some weight, I could not run as fast as him, and as a result, he beat me. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, look, last time you beat me, this time I beat you, we've even the scores. Now what was this? The word in this time and age has become distorted. And it has its own context and own connotations. But just for our purposes in inverted commas, we'll say that this was entertainment. So in principle, deen has catered for all these needs. But now where does the problem come? The problem comes when a need has become the objective. When a person has made the need his purpose in life. A need is a need. And the Shariat, the principle of Shariat is that a need is confined to the extent of the need. In a pot of food, all the spices are in place and whatever the ingredients are and the whatever is meant to be cooked is all in place. But now it also needs salt. But now how much of salt it needs? Now there's a pot of food, it needs a teaspoonful of salt maybe. A person says, well, the salt is what adds all the flavor to the food. And everything is in place, but if the salt is missing, this is totally tasteless. So now therefore I need to put more flavor. So he adds a whole cup full of salt in that food. Now what is going to be the end result of that? Where there was supposed to be a teaspoonful, he put a cup full. That's going to spoil the entire pot of food. So likewise, this mental relaxation is a need. It's a salt in the whole food of life. But when it has become the need of life, and not just the need of life, there are those people who have made it their religion in life. This is not just something that's just a concept, this is a reality. There are those who believe, have the belief system of hedonism. What is hedonism all about? Hedonism, the definition of hedonism is that pleasure is the sole purpose of life. Pleasure is the sole purpose of life. And the attainment of pleasure, the words of the definition are, is the ideal aim of conduct. Now, what does this mean? In other words, that there is no object of life but to indulge in leisure and pleasure. So come what may, there's no barriers, there's no inhibitions, there's no restrictions, there's no rules, there's no laws. Whatever you can do to please yourself, to indulge in the leisures and pleasures of life, no matter whether it is permissible or impermissible, there is no permissibility and impermissibility. There is no halal and haram. There is no thing as any difference between nikah and zina. There is no rule of any sort. Do what you want. Whether it's an intoxicant or whether it is anything else, it's up to you. There is no restriction of any sort. Life is for pleasure. So you must not be restricted from whatever you want to do. And if it takes anything, the ideal aim of conduct, it means that no matter what you have to do to acquire that pleasure, that is the right thing to do. If you have to sell your morality, that's the right thing to do. If you have to do the most kind of immoral thing to acquire that pleasure, then that is the ideal aim of conduct. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. Now this is one group of people who live in the world with this as their religion. They are hedonists by belief. There are others who don't have this as their belief. MashaAllah, there are many who have iman. Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman. And Allah Ta'ala protect and safeguard our iman. Take us with iman. Raise us with iman on the day of Qiyamah. And there are others who are in the akhirat, they are also doomed in any case if they don't come into iman. But some believe they are Christians, some believe they are Jews, some believe they are whatever else. So they believe in some belief system other than this hedonism. But unfortunately, even those who have iman, a very great number, in day-to-day life, we live practically as hedonists. Not entirely, but way in the sense that this entertainment has become the object of life. And how? That entertainment will determine to what extent deen can fit in the gaps. That leisure and pleasure of life, that will take precedence. That will dictate what a person does, when he does it, how he does it. And wherever deen can be fitted into the gaps, deen will be fitted in also. If the game will allow him to perform salah with jama'ah, then he'll perform salah with jama'ah. And if that game doesn't allow that, then the salah, the jama'ah will be left aside. And Allah forbid that if that game will take from the beginning till the end of the salah time, it will become qaza, then it will become qaza also. And a person will still feel he did a great favor to Allah Ta'ala that he made the qaza later. Whereas in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that man fatathu salatun, the person who misses one salah in its time, even if he makes up for it later, he missed one salah in its time, فَكَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ أَهْلُهُ وَمَالُهُ, then it is as if that the loss that has come as a result of this, it's as if he has lost all his family and all his wealth in one go. What is that loss? That loss is not as great as a loss of losing one salah in time. But now if that entertainment, that leisure and pleasure, that gain, if that does not allow the salah in time, then the salah can be put aside. This will take precedence. Now that is living life, though with iman, but practically living life in the manner of a hedonist. That the pleasure must take precedence. There's a nikah, then first all the frills and fancies that are against Shariat, because that will give us some excitement, that'll be put into place. Then somewhere one qiraat will be fitted into the whole equation. And somewhere maybe some dini talk will also be fitted in. And whatever else can be fitted in, but then life will go on as if there's no deen. Then the intermingling will take place, and Allah forbid the dancing will happen, and there'll be music, and there'll be whatever else. And that entertainment will take the priority, that will become the object, that will dictate what will happen. Wherever the gaps can be filled in with deen, well and good. In order to have that leisure and pleasure, to amuse oneself, to feel the excitement that others seem to be feeling, then if that requires that a person has to be dressed in a certain way, in an immoral manner, fine, that is it. Leave the deeny requirements of dressing aside. Why? Because I'm going to a certain venue now where it's going to be, the entertainment will require to be dressed in this manner. So that becomes living life in the way that the hedonists live, which Allah Ta'ala has already explained in the Quran Sharif. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen that person who has made his deity his desires? That dictates what he does when he does it. But then what happens? Somewhere or the other, for some things, he will find some legitimacy. Something out of context. Something to pull it out from somewhere to give it some legitimacy. Now for example, the Hadith Sharif that we just discussed, where Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explained that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raced with her. Now this hadith is now ready for us to be used out of context to legitimize what we want. So how is it legitimized? Well, here is it. This racing was what? It was exercise. And exercise, who was exercising? Aisha was also exercising. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was also exercising. So now I'm going to exercise as well. But where I'm going to exercise? In the gym. So now, in all that nudity, in the midst of all that music and nudity and whatever other, has any person entered some of these gyms or any of these gyms and left with his iman, let alone in a better level, even anywhere close to the level it was before he entered? But there's some legitimacy for it. But the very crucial part in that hadith sharif, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, taqaddamu, send all the sahaba ahead, please move on first. Everybody out of sight. And then he entertained Hazrat Aisha in our usage of the word, not in the modern usage of the word. He entertained her in that inverted commas to make her feel happy a little. But this is the bottom line, that was done well within the limits of Shariat and Deen. Everybody was out of sight, and it was to the extent of the salt in the food. That did not become the object of life. But unfortunately, when this becomes the object of life, maybe not a stated object, not a declared object, but it creeps into the system. And it starts dictating what we do, when we do it, how we do it. And when and where we'll be allowing deen to come into the picture. Then what happens? Then everything becomes entertainment. And everything will be judged or done for entertainment. Even deen will be reduced to entertainment. Hajj and Umrah will become largely entertainment. Person will perform his tawaf. He'll make some ibadat. He'll make a lot of zikr and dua also maybe. But the main part of the whole itinerary and the main part of the program will be how he's going to entertain himself. In the shopping centers, in whatever else. That will dictate his program of the day. And then he'll fit in the tawaf, etc. around it also. Qurbani will become entertainment. That if that qurbani is not fun-filled, it's not worth it. Whether that animal is going to suffer or not, in the extra drama that we'll create, that is a secondary issue. But there must be excitement. That qurbani will become excitement. And that will be judged on the basis of that entertainment factor. If it's not exciting, it's not worth it. We'll go somewhere else where there's more excitement, more fun. Even a dini discourse will be judged on the basis of what is the entertainment factor in it. Somebody might be a very senior personality, person whose heart is bubbling with that ruhaniyat, and whose company might transform our life in moments. But maybe the manner in which he is saying whatever he's saying is might be in a very straightforward, simple manner, doesn't seem to give us much excitement, then this is not worth it. But if something gives us a lot of excitement, then that will be worth it. So even the deen will be dictated by the entertainment factor. And that entertainment factor then comes into everything of life, Allah forbid. Then an adult person, how many times a person comes and says, please help me now to get out of this. What, get out of what? He says, I'm caught up onto playing games on the whatever Xbox, and say sometimes from Isha time, I start off after Isha once in a while playing this some kind of car game. We thought that the car game stopped at the time of when a child finished infancy. Person is in his mid-ages. He says, I start after Isha, before I know it is Fajr time. Lost track of time. Now this becomes the entertainment. And then it doesn't stop there. Then that too doesn't give the person the excitement he wants. Then he starts going into haram. And he starts watching all the filth. And then he gets caught up onto social media. And without that social media, and without the de-Facebook, and without all the other things that totally drop him from the ranks of morality also, without that, life becomes boring for him. Without that, there's no life left for him. He's like a fish out of water. If that, for some reason, his phone is out of order for that night, then he doesn't know how to spend his time. He's lost. And this becomes the reality, unfortunately, when this entertainment creeps in, till out of the Quran Sharif goes out. When this entertainment creeps in, the person will have the time to sit 1 hour, 2 hours on his phone. But he won't have 5 minutes to recite Durood Sharif. To recite Durood Sharif on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he has no time. He won't have time to take the name of Allah Ta'ala. To have Talim in the home for a few minutes, be impossible. Day in, day out, he'll say, just didn't get the time. But he had the time to deface himself on Facebook. He had the time to be involved in all the other evils, on the phone and whatever else, on the internet. But this, it stems from making this entertainment the object of life. Nobody made it by saying it so, but we allowed it to become so. We allowed it to now take control of ourselves, and that is now dictating what we do, when we do it, how we do it, and whether deen will get a chance to gap in or not. This is something we have to work very, very hard at reversing. This is only the diagnosis. But the diagnosis itself is not the solution. The solution is that we have to come back to what Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Quran Sharif. There's something that we are asking for some fulfillment from within. The heart is crying for some fulfillment. And unfortunately, we're looking for that fulfillment in all these things. That fulfillment would only come, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, and the primary part of remembrance is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and in His remembrance, in together with the general obedience, staying away from haram, fulfilling the commands of Allah Ta'ala, then together with that tilawat of the Quran Sharif, dhikr, taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, in this is that fulfillment. The heart will not get contentment in anything else. We can try from now till Qiyamah, it will only keep increasing that thirst, and there will never be any fulfillment until we come to where the fulfillment has been kept. Go out in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, spend the time correctly, go into the company of the Mashaykh and the Ahlullah, spend our time in a way that we will imbibe from their hearts that ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then we will see this fulfillment, this peace, this serenity that we are desiring, that we are trying to get in everything else, then we will achieve some kind of contentment. So the thing is, first and foremost, to recognize that this is a major disease. Unfortunately, if we are going to be in a state of denial is not only a person who is in drugs, and is in a state of denial, a person who is an addict of entertainment, but is in a state of denial, he's not ready to accept that I'm an addict. But check our day. Just try and consider how much of time we spend just trying to amuse ourselves, just trying to entertain ourselves, we'll realize we too have become addicted. Put the phone aside for a few nights and see whether we become like fish out of water, and we'll realize we are addicted. So this is the first part of it, to recognize the addiction, to recognize the disease, but then to go to the ulama-i-kiram, the mashayikh, to go to the right sources and take the guidance of how to come out of this addiction, and inshallah we'll see how fulfilling life becomes and how this life too will become successful. And the main thing is, we'll earn the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and our akhirat will get made as well. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.